Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. With me co-hosting this morning is my good friend Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
Good to see you. You know, we spent a lot of time together. I kind of feel bad because all last week I didn't see you at all. We just texted each other. So
hey, you dropped out of sight, but I kept up with you. Yeah. I listened to your show.
Yeah. It's good to see you this morning. You know, Jump in Tucson is a unique format with different hosts every day. On Fridays, we do success. On Mondays, I do wonder with the University of Arizona, the good things happening there. On Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger hosts Restaurants and Current Events. And on Thursday, Tom Moulton talks Visit Tucson, one of our good sponsors, and attractions in Tucson. So on Fridays, we do talk about success stories. So we're going to talk about one of those now. Our guest is Jacob Barr from MyRapture.com. Good morning, Jacob.
Hi, good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, before we get started and talk about the great success that iRapture has enjoyed over the last few years, let's talk a little bit about Jacob Barr. And you went to school here in Tucson and then to the U of A. So let's talk, where'd you go to high school?
I went to the Palo Verde Christian High School, which was Midtown back then, next to Catalina High School.
Right. It's not there anymore, correct?
Now it's Push Ridge up on the north side.
And don't they have, they just opened a new one down in the south side over in South Tucson area too. That's a Push Ridge Academy. So
I'm not sure.
Yeah. They did.
Okay.
It's kind of an outreach from their campus up on Oracle Road there. So you went there, but then you went on to one of my favorite places, the University of Arizona. So how'd you do at the U of A, and what did you do when you were at the U of A?
Yeah, so I went to the Eller College and got my degree in entrepreneurship back in 1999. Mm-hmm. Finished college in 4 years. And then I went on to work for Carl Eller in Phoenix just a few months after starting iRapture.com with a business partner.
Well, hey, that's Carl calling us now. So.
I have to buy lunch today, I guess, and my phone went off.
But yeah, so a little backstory before iRapture.com. So when I was in high school, I made a decision to pray for a year about what God wanted me to do with my life. And after making essentially doing a daily prayer for about 6 months, I felt like I knew that he wanted me to work with my church, work with kids, and work with my own business. And I didn't know what that looked like, but eventually it turned into iRapture.com over... Yeah, trying to pursue that direction.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about working with my good friend, Carl Eller.
Sure. You
know, Carl was kind of like a mentor to me. I remember when I was president of the Tucson Advertising Club back in 1984, you know, one of my goals was to get, you know, people that were pretty successful in advertising to come and speak to our club. And so I got Carl to come down. At the time, he was the CEO of Circle K. And he came down and flew his plane down, came and talked to us, jumped back on his plane, went back to Phoenix. But he and my folks. So what'd you do for Carl up at the Eller Company?
Yeah, so he hired Nick, my business partner at the time, and I. And we were working on essentially an internal program that would help the sales team know what percent of billboards were unsold in each market to essentially support national sales or cross-market sales. The average market perhaps had 40% of their billboards sold, and a way of communicating that to the greater team in other markets was helpful for people to have access to like what's available in other areas. And this would have been in the year 2001 when I was mm-hmm. working there.
Right.
And
you know, when he had Eller Outdoor, he was he's a native Tucsonan, born and raised here, went to the U of A, he and his wife Stevie. At one point he owned the largest billboard company in the world, which was Eller Outdoor, and his good friend Artie Moreno was also a owner of another billboard company, Outdoor Systems. And it was ironic that in Tucson, Arizona, the two guys that own the two largest outdoor billboard companies in the world We're both from Tucson, Arizona, and that's kind of a little trivia that not a lot of people know. But Carl is a great guy, very creative, very, very soft-spoken.
Yeah. When my business partner and I, Nick and I, went to Phoenix to do a sales call, essentially on seeing if we could help Carl or Eller Media do with their website, we, on the way to Phoenix, we came up with a very unique strategy that we never used again. Our goal was just to listen. Like, that was literally, because essentially he had a wealth of business knowledge. Right. He was, you know, known for his success, known for coming back from failure. Right. And so we decided mostly to not sell and just simply listen and absorb wisdom. And then he ended up offering us jobs at the end.
Well, so good. You listen. You listen well. Yeah.
Well, the sales call.
You know, Carl Eller is referred to as the Phoenix of Phoenix because he told a story of the one time he came home from work and just told his wife, he said, you know, I've lost it all. Everything's gone. And that happened to him twice, where he went bankrupt twice and yet ended his life. He was a multi-bazillionaire he was instrumental in helping Jerry Colangelo bring, the Diamondbacks and the funds and the bowl games and so forth. He was very active in the Phoenix sports market as well. Very, very cool. Yeah. So you did that for a couple of years. Then 9/11 came.
So when 9/11 took place, there was a large dip in marketing that was being done after the terrorist attack. And essentially, my last day, there's a large layoff. And so my last day actually coincided with Carl Eller's last day there as well, because he had sold the company the year before and Clear Channel was taking over, making changes, and his last. Yeah. So I sort of felt honored, even though it was my last day, to share it with him. That was sort of nice.
I had the good fortune of going with Dave Slavin to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City for Carl's induction into the American Advertising Federation Hall of Fame event. And it was really cool to go and watch him be inducted by the guys from Clear Channel and Bruce from Discount Tire and so forth, all of his buddies. We were all there and we got to witness him being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he's one of... I think he's still, if I'm not mistaken, the only Arizonan who lived in Arizona at the time who was a member of the Hall of Fame. So he has quite a distinction. And, of course, he's the namesake of the Eller College at the University of Arizona, the Eller College of Management. We're talking with Jacob Barr from iRapture.com. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and we'll talk about iRapture and what do you and your folks do now with 20 years later of what you're doing with iRapture and the success you have there. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm here with Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning again, Dr. Eckerle.
I hear that there's a little therapy in your future to this afternoon. Even though it's 106 degrees today, you're going to go get some therapy?
Yes, at Tucson National Golf Course.
Yeah. So you're going to play with some family and go out and enjoy the beautiful 106 degree summer weather in Tucson?
Yeah, some of our cousins decided to get together to play a round of golf, so a couple are coming in from out of town.
That's great.
So it'll be a good time.
So that's an inside joke. Sixto and I talk about him going and getting therapy, and it's that's our code word for, do you want to go get some therapy? That's to go play a round of golf somewhere. So it is therapy, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
we
all need it. We all need a break and so forth. We're talking with Jacob Barr from iRapture.com. iRapture is one of our longtime colleagues at our advertising agency, Ackerley Advertising, and Jacob's been a friend of my brother Bill's for many years, and Jacob's one of our advertisers. He supports Jump in Tucson. You'll hear Bill's voice on, right, Bill?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
What did you call yourself? The artistic director,
yeah. I had to give myself a title, some kind of title, so I went with artistic director for that commercial.
I like that, I like that. Well, you say good things about Jacob.
Right.
So Jacob, you finished up at the Eller Media Company and Eller Outdoor, and you took off with a storm with, well, actually, you started small with iRapture, but look at you now. So
in the beginning, it was my business partner and I, but then 1 year in, it was just myself for about 5 years. And then I had my first employee, Jeremy Lefevre, I think about 5 years later.
Right.
And today we have, it's about 10 of us full time. Most of us are in Tucson, the Tucson area, but we have several that are outside of Tucson. We have one in Ohio. One of my colleagues is in India, and we work with several freelancers and different team members that are spread out.
Right. Well, that's amazing that you've grown your company from yourself to a dozen or so people that are doing some pretty high-level stuff with the digital media and websites and those kinds of things. Let's talk a little bit about what one of your major fortes is. You talked early on about how when you started the company, it was a matter of your own personal spiritual journey and what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. And so you got connected in the beginning with some pregnancy centers to help young mothers that are contemplating what they're going to do with their babies and so forth. And so now you're pretty much known across the country as helping quite a few pregnancy centers.
We work, I think we work right now with about 9% of the pregnancy clinics in the U.S. And I didn't see it coming, you know, working with churches, working with, with children and my own business. I thought I was going to work. My first thought was I would start a toy store and support an orphanage in Peru or something. I didn't really know what was coming down the road. But today it makes a lot of sense. That direction has really been solidified into we work with pregnancy clinics to essentially reach women who are at risk of choosing abortion to offer them hope, help, and healing through pregnancy clinics and literally helping the youngest of children. And then that's very much connected with evangelical and Catholic churches, about 50-50 when it comes to the churches that are connected with pregnancy clinics. And then IRF.com is the business element of that vision back when I was, or that direction I received back when praying for 6 months and when I was in high school.
You know, people hear the word nonprofit, and a lot of the pregnancy centers are nonprofits.
All of them are.
And that, you know, the word nonprofit, that doesn't mean that you don't operate as a business. And so they're operating just like any other business would. They just happen to be in that nonprofit tax status. Mm-hmm. But they have to do marketing and advertising and promoting and sharing their vision and their service to their constituents just like any other company would. And so getting someone like you to help them is really important to them.
Yeah, I think very, very highly of a pregnancy clinic because they do all this work of fundraising in order to pay the cost of providing medical care to a woman at no cost. And so it's pretty amazing how they work hard to fundraise in order to provide amazing service to someone who's in a desperate situation.
Yeah, very vulnerable at that time, and it's an emotional time in their lives, and big decisions have to be made, and that's a tough thing. So that is definitely a calling to service, and so you're helping in your way by doing what you said you were going to do, which is to help children and to help help the community and still have a business that's meaningful. Let's talk a little bit about other businesses. You don't only help pregnancy centers and you help other kinds of businesses too. You help Ackerly Advertising, but you help lots of other businesses. So you develop websites and do some podcasts and things like that?
Yeah, so we design and develop websites. We do a great deal of Google advertising with Google pay-per-click ads, content creation, and we work a great deal with Bill and your team on crafting videos and articles, doing SEO-driven content, and essentially trying to help where people need it, mostly content marketing, because Google is a really great place where people find answers to questions, and content marketing is how you can be weaved into those search results.
Yeah. So we're talking with Jacob Barr from irapture.com. You know, Google, as my experience going out selling advertising for the last 47 years, Google is something that's very familiar with every business person that is there, obviously because they have used Google before in their life. But if they're a business, sometimes they don't know the difference between SEO and SEM. They don't know the difference between, they don't know how to work the analytics. They know it's an important part of their business. But they come to you and you're able to help them craft a marketing plan that involves that digital footprint, which is a powerful tool for them. And if they get it right, then it can be very beneficial. And if you get a Google grant for them on top of that, they can get some advertising that they wouldn't normally get.
Yeah, a 501c3 nonprofit is eligible to get a $330 per day or $10,000 per month Google Ads grant, and it's ongoing. It's been in existence for 12 years. Google offers it to tens of thousands of nonprofits, mostly because Google likes money and they're raising the price tags of all ads based on having a grant system. But it's really great for the nonprofits. And it's good for people to essentially, when I could go into the details of how it works, I guess, but I don't know if we have time for that in this podcast.
Just have them Google it. Yeah.
That's a whole nother hour conversation on how Google Ads works and how it compares to a grant account versus a cash account and how how content plays in.
Can you tell us a little bit, Jacob, about your podcast?
Sure. So as a hobby, I about 2 years ago, I call it a hobby because I don't get paid per se to do it. But I started a podcast called the Pro-Life Team Podcast. And essentially I've been interviewing different pro-life leaders to help, giving them an opportunity to share their story. It's based on three pillars. One is sharing a story that a pregnancy clinic director will be encouraged by, highlighting God's fingerprints where people, share stories of how God's answered prayer or worked in this space, and also to share new ideas that are not commonly known or not commonly used so people can be exposed to new ideas in this field. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of, I've really enjoyed producing and outputting this podcast. I think I've made about 160 episodes and I essentially have an e-letter that goes out once a week promoting one per week.
So how would a listener find your podcast?
So if you were to Google the Pro-Life Team Podcast, those exact words, it'll show up, and it can be connect. It's on Spotify, Apple, along with about 50 other podcast platforms, but most people listen on Apple or Spotify, it seems like.
Is that an hour show that you do, or a half hour?
It's typically between 30 minutes to an hour.
Right.
I know I personally like listening to shorter podcasts, but at the same time, when you're listening to a podcast and you're listening to it while you drive, it's not as critical for it to be short.
Right.
But I usually let the guest speak a great deal, and my voice is not nearly as, it's not balanced. Like, I don't take up half the time. I usually let the guests share their stories and give them lots of room to go into details where they may not have that opportunity in a shorter platform.
Right. Well, you talked about video, and Brother Bill is sitting here. He's buying lunch because his phone went off earlier.
Sorry about that.
you guys have conspired to do quite a bit of videos for companies that need some augmented support in their digital platform. And so video is really important in the digital space, right?
It is. I think video is a way of conveying messages in a way that really, it allows you to take advantage of facial expression and audio and music, timing. And at the same time, text content in text form is also important because it gets indexed very well by Google. Having imagery, I think, it's good to have a full spectrum of content, not just to have it be in just one area or another, but to really allow it to be, it's good to have a full spectrum, text, imagery, and video.
Where would someone find irapture.com? I just gave away where you'd find you, but where would they find irapture and get a hold of you if they were a nonprofit and wanted to investigate the Google grant, or if they were a company and wanted to build a website, or if they knew somebody in the pregnancy situation and needed to get some information? Where would they go to find you?
So, going to our website, of course, based on our name, is one way to find us. And then my email is simply jacob@irapture.com. And if someone has a nonprofit, the best way to, that I can explain how the Google Ads grant works is to schedule an hour with me, and I will literally walk you through, how it works, examples, giving you and a case study essentially for how it may apply to your nonprofit. And we currently work with about 95 501c3 nonprofits with their Google Ads grant. And so we have a lot of experience. And one of my colleagues who used to work for Google and now works for us, he lives in India. So it's 12 and a half hours ahead of us here in Tucson. He's our Google Ads key employee. And he has, literally was working for Google for a few years before starting to work with us.
Yeah, we took advantage of that with Coaches for Charity, our 501c3 that helps student athletes. And we did that several years ago. And what a nice addition to trying to get some exposure for a nonprofit. So, well, Jacob, a success story. iRapture.com, you've done great work with pregnancy centers, with businesses, but in your own life, in your family's life, you've done a great job of providing for them. And your little kids are now all in their, half of them finished with school and on to their own lives. But you've done a great job over the last few years with
them. Two of them are currently with their driver's permits, and my youngest is 10 now.
Okay. You're getting there, yeah. Yep. Well, thank you, Jacob Barr from iRapture.com, and we'll be back after the break with more on Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. On Monday, it's our University of Arizona Wonder Show. We have a couple of great guests. We have Nicole Cox from Arizona Public Media coming in. She is a one-of-a-kind gem, a good friend. And then we have Sophia and Ophelia coming in from the Native American program that's just got a big, giant grant. So we'll be talking about that on Monday. We're here this morning with Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley. Glad to be here.
Always good to have you. I said earlier in the show that you're going to head out to therapy here in just a minute, so we got to wrap up this show so you can get yourself out on the links, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And with us is my brother, Bill. Bill's buying us lunch today because his phone rang during the first session.
Right. That's one of the, we're going to talk a little bit about video production. That's one of the unspoken rules when you're on a video crew. If your phone goes off in the middle of the take, you're buying lunch that day. And that's how we... And I don't know why mine went off. I usually have it on mute.
Well, you told us why it went off, because you were waiting for a call from Jacob.
Oh, yeah. We were trying to line up the guests for today.
So you and Jacob were talking about how important video is. And, of course, Ackerley Advertising back 100 years ago when we started the company in 1968, we at that time it was reel-to-reel audio tapes with slides, 35-millimeter slides, and they would be delivered to the TV stations with a script, and they'd actually go live on the air. And just like a slideshow, they would punch the slides in and time it to the script with the audio. And that was the first vestiges of local television commercials were still shots in an audio tape. And then we got in, Ackerley Advertising got into 16-millimeter film there for a while.
Right. Dad went out and bought a very expensive Bolex camera. It was the kind that didn't have a battery, so we had to crank it, and it would run for 12 seconds. And he also bought a very expensive Ingenue lens that went with it. And we started shooting video for local companies here in town. One of them was Levy's Department Store. They had a whole houseware department, and Ed and I did the lights, and we were the lighting crew, and Dad cranked that thing over and over again, and we shot some beautiful film that ended up being on commercials for Levy's Department Store here in town.
When they first started the company, my folks, they had Levy's, Elkhorn Mall, Montgomery Ward's, Seinfeld's, JCPenney, a lot of the big department stores in the Elkhorn Mall. And, of course, later on, Dad took over the management contract for the mall and was served as the executive director. We did many a video shoot at Elkhorn Mall over the years.
Yeah, do you remember those Levy shoots?
I do.
They killed us. We were worn out by the end of the day because we have different locations and go around, and we were lugging those lights all over the place.
I do.
And we were young. We were young college guys or in high school, and we would be worn out by the end of the day.
Just thinking about it wears me out, to be honest with you. Well, then after that, after we switched to videotape, after we did the 16-millimeter and the new thing was video, and so and then obviously both yours and my degrees are radio and television, so you kind of took the production side, I took the sales side. And you have become an expert in videos, so shooting and editing. Well, mostly editing, which is really the skill.
Right. I would say the three skills are storytelling, which we do really well, and editing, and also lighting. We don't just go throw an iPhone up and shoot video. We take the time to light the scenes properly and have it tell a real story. So
right. So it's the 30th anniversary. I don't know if you do you remember, Sixto, when the Casino del Sol, or actually the very first iteration of Casino of the Sun, was first created here in Tucson 30 years ago?
Yes, that was not at the same location that the main casinos at. It was a tent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had the good fortune in the early years of doing a television commercial for the casino. It was one of those opportunities. We worked for them for a year, and we got to shoot one of their very first television commercials. A guy by the name of Sal Simola was the general manager, and he hired Ackerley Advertising, and we did a $25,000 at the time. This is 30 years ago, so it was a $25,000 TV shoot. That's probably equivalent to about $100,000 today.
Right, yeah.
So tell a little bit about that particular shoot.
Well, it was a long process. We actually had a jingle created for it that we went through. We wrote the jingle. We had a what's that guy's name? Billy.
Yeah.
I forget who the guy who did the jingle.
I know you're talking about, yeah.
Billy's.
I'm old. I'm old. And I've, names are not easy for me to come by.
And then we had a couple of weeks where we brought all these models in, and we had the models audition, and we tested the models, and then we actually shot for 2 days. It was a two-day shoot, 2 8-hour days. And it turned out the commercial, we shot it on film. We sent it over to Los Angeles to have the film processed. And
we had the lighting crew from Old Tucson come out and did the lighting. They had a whole giant lighting truck. It was full of lighting equipment, and they brought in all sorts of things to light up the casino.
Yeah.
And then we had a shooting with video, but we had audio, and the jingle was playing in the every time that we'd action, the jingle would start, and we'd played that jingle 8 million times in the casino while we were shooting it.
Right. And I should mention that we our videographer was Rick Rose from Film Creations. He was the guy that was our specialist on the camera that day.
Very talented.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, I'll brag a little bit. We did get a Gold Daddy Award for that commercial, and it was one of the first ones that we got an award for, and it was kind of nice to garner the industry award of an Addy Award, which says that you did a good job on that. So, so over the years, you've worked on lots of videos, and you continue to do that. Why would someone want a video? Why would a company, even if they're not going to be on TV, why would they want a video?
Well, getting back to what Jacob was talking about and the search engine optimization and all of that, their studies have been done. One of the things we try to do when someone comes to your website is to have them click. We want them to click. And studies have been done that like 85% of the time, if you've got the icon for a video, people will click on that, as whereas they might not click onto a link or a photo or anything like that. So video has become very important for anybody who has a website. They should have an icon on their opening page, I feel, to have somebody click on and be able to tell their story with.
And there are some websites that when you load it into the URL, and the very first thing that comes up is a video.
Right.
And that also is another way of doing it, of giving a 15, 20 minute, 30 second little intro into the video. And that was very popular some time ago, but still is a unique way of capturing attention to get them to stay for a little while.
Right. And then for our clients, we find that we have a great mix of traditional television advertising combining with YouTube advertising and other online video advertising. We kind of now blend it all together so that it's an effective way to reach target people. We can reach into zip codes with YouTube advertising. So if you've got a one location entity or a business, we can target your zip code with YouTube advertising and demographics as well. So
yeah, that's the difference between broadcast and digital. Broadcast talks to a large audience, and you're getting the whole what's called the ADI, the area of dominant influence, which is in Tucson, that's from Sierra Vista to Red Rock, from Ajo to Wilcox, basically is the ADI down here in Tucson with the major markets. Whereas a zip coded approach with the YouTube or some digital space, you can zero in on a particular zip code in a geographic area. So it's broadcasting versus narrowcasting, which is a unique way of using video.
Right, and Sixto this morning brought in donuts from Estrella Bakery, so we could target 85713 if we wanted to advertise for them.
So. Right. So if you want to just get people within a couple miles of your store, you use YouTube or some other source, and you use that video. And what really works well, is to put a 30-second commercial on TV, put a 30-second commercial on radio, and then put that same 30-second radio, video, audio on YouTube. And the synergy of those three things works really powerfully together.
Yeah, very, very powerful.
Yeah. So
especially if you tell the right story.
Yeah, it's all about storytelling, isn't it?
And I like to say that I create 30-second movies.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And people want to engage in those and stay all the way through to the end.
Right.
And see how it ends too.
Right.
So that's important.
Exactly.
Bill, the marketing strategy that you're talking about, does that apply to all age groups or just certain age groups?
Well, that's one of the beauties of both broadcast and narrowcasting on digital is that you can target different age groups. So depending on the client, I have one client where the guy does basketball camps or youth, and we were able to target sports. We were able to target youth. We were able to target their parents' age, you know, and that kind of a thing. So it can be very sophisticated in targeting on what you do with a video.
Yeah, it's really changed from the days when we were doing slides and reel-to-reel and running down to the stations. Bill and I, we were 16, 17 years old. I actually knew the ins and outs of every TV station in this town because at the time, you know, you'd run in the back door and run into wherever the salesperson was and drop it on their desk or give it to Dave Garrigan or whoever, Scotty Gilbranson, whoever was the TD at the time. You'd take it down and hand it to him and so forth. And I'd run around these stations like I owned the place. The reality is now you try to get into one of these TV stations, you know, it's just like it is like going to an airline flight. You're going to be going through a metal detector and frisk. And that's just because of the way the nature of law enforcement has changed over the years. So
exactly.
Pretty interesting. So if anybody needs video, Bill, where should they go?
Well, I guess they could go to AckerleyAdvertising.com or they can contact me at Bill@AckerleyAdvertising. And, I do have a pretty competent crew right now. We hire people out specifically for video. One of the guys I tried to get on the show today was Scott Blake, who for years was a videographer over the commercial videographer at Channel 9, KGA 9. And he's my primary videographer now.
Right.
So
the wealth of experience between you and him. And
right.
Yeah. I get to stand around and pretend like I know what I'm talking about and schmooze. And then they do all the work. It's really wonderful. I love that.
I stand around and worry. That's what an agency producer does is worry that something's going to go wrong.
Well, great. Well, you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI. We'll come back after the break. And we want to talk to you a little bit about one of the charities that Bill and I run, which is called Coaches for Charity, and what we're going to be doing there. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host, along with my brother Bill Ackerley this morning. Good morning again, Bill.
Good morning.
And our good friend and my former campaign chair, Sixto Molina, who we have spent the last 5 years running around being a fearsome duo. It's been kind of fun, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
Meeting different people and going different places.
Right. One of the things that we do as an agency and as a family over the years is to try and do things to give back to the community. Of course, one of the things we've done over the last 56 years is to help community organizations and help them with their marketing and advertising. And 15 years ago, Janet Hare and I started a charity, which you've heard about probably, Coaches for Charity. We do the Football Kickoff Classic, which is coming up in August. We'll have a show on that coming up soon. We have the MLK Martin Luther King Basketball Classic, which happens on, obviously, MLK Day at the University of Arizona McHale Center. We do. We helped Dale Lopez and company with the Ross Scrooge Cougar Classic. Bill does a June bowl-a-thon where we raise money for elementary schools, athletic equipment. One of the neat things that we do with Coaches for Charity, Richard Fimbres, Councilman Richard Fimbres, asked me about 5 years ago to get involved with raising some money to go get some boxes for Thanksgiving, some food boxes. And so John Hone, who is the executive chef at Gap Ministries, helps us out with that. He and his team produce some great boxes, and they contain all the food for a family for Thanksgiving Day. And over the last 5 years, we have asked our friends, and now we'll be asking our Jump in Tucson listener friends, to help join us in that endeavor of raising some money. Now, everybody and their brother does something at Thanksgiving. We get that. We realize that there's a lot being done, and we shouldn't forget about people in the summer or other times of the year, but we do something special at Thanksgiving. Last couple of years, we've gotten 100 boxes prepared, and we distribute them to different schools. So, Sixto, what are the schools that we've done so far, and what are we talking about maybe adding this year?
Okay, so far, Santa Cruz, St. John's, Apollo Middle School, and Utterback. And thinking of adding Ochoa Elementary and Mission View Elementary. And those two schools are in the heart of the poverty zone in Tucson.
Yeah, and you and I have visited Ochoa School recently and are going to try and help them do some marketing and help them with their, you know, Steve Ochoa from the Ochoa family is involved in that, and we want to help them continue to grow and be a good school that they are. And Mission View is also one that's right there in that area that needs some help. So what we do is we try to get each of the boxes covered. So the last 2 years, I think we've done 100 boxes, and so we're looking at 150 boxes or maybe 200 this year. And in order to do that, I spend a lot of time from September through Thanksgiving twisting the arms of my friends and business owners and clients and colleagues and people from churches and so forth to donate for a box. And that's Bill, how do they donate if someone is listening right now? And I realize it's only July 12th and it's early on in the summer and Thanksgiving is a long ways away, but somebody could actually make a donation in July, turn around, make a donation in August, turn around, make a donation in September and October and November. And by the time we get there, they've sponsored 5 boxes and it's really nothing, you know, not a lot of money. Where do they go to donate to help us with this project?
Well, you go to the website, coachesforcharity.com, and there's currently not a button directly for the Thanksgiving box.
There will be, because that's what you're doing this afternoon, right?
Right. But what you can do is you go to the section under what we do, under the coachesforcharity.com, and then you can see there's about 15 things listed that we do during the course of the year. But one of them, and it's right on the top, it's the very top one, it's Thanksgiving boxes, and click on that and it'll take you right to a portal where you can donate 1 to up to 10 boxes.
Yeah, and you can do that. You can do multiples. You can do 20, 40, right. 60, 100. You can buy out the whole thing. We had...
I'm trying to remember the price. I think it was $37.
I think it's 35. It might be 37, yeah. But so what we do is we work with John and his team at the Gap Ministries, and they prepare the box. The box is basically a turkey and all the fixings that you would have at a normal Thanksgiving dinner, including pies and things like that. And then Sixto and I and people like... Val Romero and Richard Fimbres and so forth, we actually go to with the truck from Gap Ministries and we deliver these to the schools. And then Utterback is an interesting, you know, they line up the cars, the people sign up in advance and they know that they're getting a box, and then they come through the line and they get a box of food to take home with them. And we usually do that on the Wednesday prior to Thanksgiving. And we did 100 boxes last year. It was fantastic. And like I said, we'd like to do maybe 150 or 200. So I want to get started early this year and talk about this several times on Jump in Tucson over the coming months as we get closer to Thanksgiving, and see if we can't raise individuals purchasing. We had one bank take their they were going to do something for Thanksgiving, and they decided, and their employees decided that they would all contribute, and they gave us $1,000 to buy boxes last time. So if we could get any companies that are interested in wanting to do something, that's why I'm starting early. So, you know, you can put it in your budget and say, okay, this is something that we want to assist with. And we realize that you're only giving out 150 boxes or 200 boxes, and the world needs 2 bazillion boxes of food for Thanksgiving. But it is a way that Coaches for Charity can give back to the community. And like Sixto said, a lot of the work that we do with Coaches for Charity is in these neighborhoods. And you said that the two new schools are in that zone, right?
Yeah, South Tucson is a high poverty area, and those two schools are right in the middle of that. And one of the good things about those schools is the things that they do, not only to educate the kids, but they also keep them out of trouble with the police.
Right.
South Tucson, contrary to many people's popular belief, has one of the lowest juvenile crime rates in Pima County.
Right.
And that's awesome. And I attribute that not only to the schools, but to the social service agencies that are there that help the kids and keep them busy.
Great. Well, if you can help us, and again, I'll be talking about this several times now between now and Thanksgiving, if you can help us with donating a box or two or three or five or 10 or whatever you can afford. And again, you don't have to give just once. You can give over the course of a period of time, and that way it won't break the bank and will help us out. We'd like to, you know, get up to about 200 boxes this year if we can. So if you'd like to contribute to that, go to coachesforcharity.com.org. I'm sorry, coachesforcharity.org.
And yeah, I think either will work.
Yeah, either will work, but go to coachesforcharity.org and we can get that there. Thank you, Sixto Molina, for being with us here today. Good luck with therapy this afternoon.
Thank you very much. I need it.
Yeah. Hope you hit them straight and putt well. So, and Bill, thanks for being here. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We'll see you on the Monday Wonder Show coming up on Monday.